Okay. So beginning with the 8th canto, we have started the Bhakti Vedanta course. Bhakti Vibho got over yesterday. 6 cantos. We started with Bhakti Vedanta. Crash course on Bhakti Vedanta. So, in the 8th canto, there is a pastimes of Gajendra getting delivered. So, in the midst of the milk ocean, there is ocean of milk also. So, there is very high and a very beautiful mountain that has an altitude of 10,000 yojanas, and that is around 80,000 miles. So, that mountain is known as Trikuta Parvat, very famous. So in that valley of Trikuta, there was a very nice garden known as Rutumat, and which was constructed by Varuna. And in that area, there was a very nice lake. And so what happened, Gajendra, who was a very powerful elephant, and he had a very big family, you know. So his wives and children and their brothers and all the their wives and everybody, they all were, you know, roaming in that valley, and they all decided that let us go and take a bath, you know, have some water sports. So they all entered that lake, particular lake, and they all started sporting with each other. And while that sporting was going on, all of a sudden, Gajendra's leg was caught up by a crocodile. Now when you know, it is also an example, when you land in trouble, and all your so-called friends and everybody, gradually they go away. So that's what happened when Gajendra was caught hold by the crocodile. At that time, all his friends and everybody, they started running away from him, and they came to the shore of the lake, and Gajendra was stuck there with crocodile, and they were fighting for 1,000 continuous years. So neither the elephant nor the crocodile died. None of them, they died. But since they were in water, the elephant's strength gradually decreased, and the crocodile's strength, being in water, was gradually increasing. So thus the crocodile became more and more encouraged, and the elephant became helpless. And seeing that there was no other way for protection, he started calling out for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And interestingly, the most interesting part was that when Gajendra was offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at that time the devatas, the Indra and Shiva and so many other devatas, were in the sky, and they're watching Gajendra's situation. But none of them, they came forward and offered to help Gajendra. And they were all, in fact, the Indra and the devatas were laughing that this Gajendra is thinking that he can call the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, to rescue him. Is he a mad person? Is he a mad fellow? He's an elephant. Big yogis, they do tapasya for so many long years, birth after birth. They keep on aspiring for the lotus foot of the Lord, and the Lord does not come there. And this elephant is calling for help, and he thinks that the Lord is going to come. Instead, he should have called for our help, and we could have gone and helped straight away. We were there. So Gajendra, when he was offering his sincere prayers directly to Supreme Personality of Godhead without making a mistake, and none of the demigods even bothered to try to help him out. So at that time, when everybody was laughing at Gajendra, just at that time, the Lord entered the sky sitting on the Garuda. And when the Lord saw that Gajendra was just about to give up his life, it was a situation where Gajendra almost gave it up, and he was about to get killed by the crocodile. just at that time the Lord entered the sky in the arena, and then Gajendra saw the Supreme Person. In that situation, when Gajendra saw the Lord Hari coming, at that situation, with his trunk, you know, he was about to die, with his trunk, he picked up a lotus flower which is just there, and he offered it to the Lord. Lord offered it to the Lord as a welcome. Because the Lord has come to rescue him. There is something has to be offered, right? So, the Gajendra, in that state where he was about to die, he picked up a lotus flower and offered to the Lord. And the Supreme Lord Hari, he was on the back of Garuda, and he was seeing that Gajendra is about to give up his body, and he told Garuda, "Garuda, you're too slow." So the Lord got down from the Garuda and he went at the more faster pace. And what did he do? The Lord immediately pulled him out from the water along with the crocodile who was captured by the lake. And then the Lord killed the crocodile and thus rescued his dear devotee Gajendra. So when Gajendra, by the mercy of the Lord, he became the associate of the Lord of Vaikuntha. He got four hands, and this achievement he got called as Sarupya Mukti. He got Sarupya Mukti, and he received a spiritual body exactly like that of the Narayana. And in the previous birth, Gajendra was a great devotee of the Lord. There was a king named Indradumna. So this king Indradumna was a very great and respected king. He was a king of the Tamil country, and he was following Vedic principles nicely. He was the king. He retired from the family life, and he took Vanaprastha. He constructed a very small house on the Malaya Parvat. There is a Malaya hills on which he made a small hut, and he was performing his tapasya there, performing his austerities. Now, in that Malaya hills, Agastya Rishi also used to stay. So Agastya Rishi, along with these many disciples, once approached the ashram of Indradumna Swami. Because the king was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not receive Agastya properly, because he was in trance, he was in meditation. So naturally, when Agastya Muni came along with the disciple, how will he know, because he was meditating on the Lord? So naturally, he could not welcome him properly. So Agastya, the rishi, became very angry and cursed him to become a dull elephant in the next birth. So in accordance with the curse, many devotees, they have this understanding that King Indradumna, he performed some aparad. No, he did not commit any offense to Agastya Muni. Agastya Rishi was inspired by the Supreme Lord. That's why he cursed him, and that's why that king became Gajendra in the next birth. Now, usually what happens that when a person transmigrates and he gets another body, he forgets everything what has happened in the past. But here, this was a very special case. So the king was born as elephant and forgot about his previous activity in the devotional service. Nonetheless, in the birth of an elephant, when he got the birth of an elephant, when he was dangerously attacked by a crocodile, when he was completely helpless, at that time he remembered the mantra which he was chanting in the previous birth as a king Indradumna. In the Malaya hills, when he was chanting the holy name, that mantra which was given to him, he was chanting there. So that he remembered, and he chanted that mantra for calling the 40 shlokas, the 40 verses which Gajendra recited, in his past birth. So he remembered his past life in devotional service, and remembered the prayer he had learned in that life. And because of this prayer, he again received the mercy of the Lord, and thus he immediately delivered, and he became one of the associates which had four-armed form of Vaikuntha, Lord of Vaikuntha. So he became liberated. So then, a very interesting story is there, that Maharaj Parikshit was eager to know about... one second. There is also... another history, that who was that crocodile? there was a king on the Gandhara planet, and his name was and once this king Hu was enjoying with his girlfriends in the water, and Deval Rishi was taking a bath. So this Hu, just to impress his girlfriends, he goes inside the water and goes and pulls the leg of Deval Rishi, who was taking a bath in the water. Upon this, the sage became very angry and immediately cursed him to become a crocodile. And the king Hu then realized that what did he do? He committed a big mistake. He was very sorry when he cursed. And so he begged pardon from the sage. So in compassion, he requested the sages, please shower your causeless mercy on me. And the sage was very compassionate. So he gave him the benediction that he will be freed when Gajendra was delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he indicated to king that Hu, as soon as Gajendra enters the the waters of this lake, go and catch hold of his lotus feet very tightly and only leave it when the Supreme Lord comes and cut off your head. Till that time, do not leave Gajendra's lotus feet, because he is a devotee of the Lord, and for rescuing the devotee of the Lord, Krishna, the Lord Hari will definitely come, and in that rescue you will also get delivered. So this is all the sweet and wonderful arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Isn't it such wonderful pastimes of Lord Gajendra, of Gajendra delivered by the Supreme Lord? Now, so Maharaj Parikshit was very eager to know about the churning of the ocean milk. So Shukdev Goswami began to explain the pastimes of the churning of the ocean. So once, what happened that Durvasa Rishi, he came from Vaikuntha and he had received a garland from the Supreme Lord. So he happened to meet Indra on the way, and then he took out his garland and offered it to Indra. Indra, being puffed up, what did he do? He took out the garland and gave it to the Airavat elephant. Elephant did not realize his mistake. Airavat put it on the ground and smashed it. In front of who? Durvasa. How can someone dare to do such thing in front of Durvasa Muni? Durvasa immediately cursed him that all your opulence and everything will be over immediately. So Indra lost the kingdom. Indra lost the kingdom. So this is Indra's situation. And this is our situation as well. We are not different from Indra. We are also somehow or other in our different scenarios in the world. We are also Indra only. So then, as usual, Indrari Vyakulam Loke Mradayanti Yuge Yuge. Indra landed in difficulty, so Indra went to Brahma. And Brahma, along with all the demigods, they all went to Shirodakshai Vishnu, Shvetadvip. And there everybody offered prayers to the Supreme Lord. Shiva, Brahma, Indra, everybody offered prayers. And then the Supreme Lord, he reciprocated. He told Lord Brahmaji that, he gave appropriate instructions to all the demigods. And so Supreme Lord known as Ajita, he advised the demigods that now it is a time for churning the milk ocean. So you have to go to meet Bali Maharaj and give him a proposal that India and Pakistan are going to work together for it. the demons and the devatas, they're going to work together for the churning of the ocean of the milk. India and Pakistan are the enemies. That's why I just cracked a joke. So the demons and the devatas, they're going to work together. And Indra said that, do you think, my dear Lord, the Bali Maharaj will accept this proposal? You just go and tell Bali Maharaj that it's my desire and they will accept it. So Indra goes to Bali Maharaj, gives the proposal. The Lord wanted that both of us together we should work and churn the ocean of milk. So And the Lord told that the rope will be the biggest serpent Vasuki, and the churning rod would be the Mandra, and the churning rod will be the Mandrachar mountain. And initially the poison will come out from the churning, and it will be taken by Lord Shiva. So, and then after many things will come out, and gradually will distribute each of them with the demigods and the demons. So after advising the demigods in this way, the Lord disappeared from the scene. Now the demigods established the Indra and all the devatas. They went to meet Bali Maharaj, gave a proposal that this is the proposal the Lord wanted, that all of us should work together, which is very good. So the demons and the demigods agreed. Principally, they both agreed, and both of them, they started the process for the churning the ocean of milk. So what did they do? They took the Mandrachal mountain with them. But because the Mandrachal mountain was so heavy that the demons and demigods put together cannot lift it. So they became fatted, and while making an attempt to lift that mountain, it even got smashed, and many of the devatas and the demons died in that process. And so then they all prayed to Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord Vishnu came there on the back of Garuda, and by his mercy he brought the demigods and demons both back to life. Supreme Lord, by his glance, he brought even demons also back to life, not just the devatas. And then the Lord lifted the Mandrachal mountain with one of his hands and put it on the back of Garuda. And then the Lord sat on the mountain. Then the Lord sat on the mountain and was carried to the spot where the churning was supposed to happen. And the mountain was placed near the sea. And then the Lord asked Garuda to leave, because unless Garuda is there, Vasuki is not going to come. So the Lord asked Garuda to go, and Vasuki came there. So when Vasuki came there, there was again a disagreement between the devatas and the demons, who will hold the tail or the top or the mouth of Vasuki, because they had to churn. So they had a discussion and this and that, and finally the devatas were very intelligently, the Lord arranged such a way that the demigods and the demons both were churning the rod. So by the expert arrangement of the Lord, the demons started holding the snake of the mouth, and the devatas, they started holding the tail of the snake, Vasuki. And then with great endeavor, they began to pull the snake in both directions. Because the churning rod, the Mandrachal mountain was very heavy and was not supported by anything on the water, what happened? It sank in the ocean. The Mandrachal mountain sank in the ocean. And in this way, the prowess of both the demons and demigods became vanquished. So the both of them were disturbed. Now the whole process, now how to do, what to do. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with great force, he appeared in the form of a tortoise. Now there are so many incarnations of the Lord present here. Lord Ajita is there, now the Lord is coming in the form of a tortoise. So, and he supported the Mandrachal mountain on the back. Then the churning rod began with the great force. So the Lord tortoise was down on it. The Mandrachal mountain was kept. Now finally there was and on the top of that, Lord Ajita was there, and the demons and the demigods were both churning the milk ocean. As a result of their churning, a huge poison came out from that, and everybody started looking at Lord Shiva. That, dear Lord Shiva, it's your turn. So the Lord has told that Lord Shiva will take. So Lord Shiva went and took the poison, and he drank it, but he did not swallow it entirely. He just kept it in his neck, and that's why his neck became blue in color, and that's why his name is called as Neelakanta. Lord Shiva's one of the name is Neelakanta. So as a result, while Lord Shiva was drinking that, he drank all the poison, but some drops of it fell. Some drops of it fell down, and because of that poison was because of the poison, that there are poisonous snakes, scorpions, toxic plants, and poisonous things in this world. Because of that little drop which fell from Lord Shiva when he was drinking that poison. So further, what happened? After Lord Shiva drank the poison, both the demons and the demigods again took the charge of churning the ocean, and they resumed the activities. So the first thing which came out was a Surabhi cow. So Surabhi cow, the great saintly people accepted the Surabhi cow because they wanted it for the performing yajna and other things. Then from there came the horse. You know, the horse came, Uccheshravaha, the horse came out from the churning of the ocean. Bali Maharaj accepted the horse. Now very smartly the Lord was dealing that who will take what, because the demons will also not feel that we are not getting anything, you know. Because both of them were actually doing this churning of ocean for one purpose, and the purpose was nectar. They both wanted nectar. The Lord also, the Lord actually, when Indra took the message with Bali, the message was very clear that the nectar will be divided between both of us equally. Both the teams, both the parties will get the nectar equally. That was the message, and with that efforts, this churning was going on. Then Airavat appeared and Indra took it. Then the gem known as Kaustubha gem appeared from it. And the Lord said, Baba, I should also get something. So the Lord took the Kaustubha gem. And thereafter, Parijata flower and the Apsaras came from that. And so the demigods took it. And then then the goddess of fortune came from it. So when goddess of fortune came from it, it started looking for an appropriate person looking for an appropriate person for getting married. So goddess of fortune looked at Lord Shiva, looked at Lord Brahma, looked at Bali Maharaj, looked at Indra and everybody, and she found out fault in each and every one of them. Even Brahma, he found fault. Lord Shiva, he found fault. She found fault. Even all the devatas, she found fault. All the rishis, she found fault. There is a long list of all the faults each of the personality has in them. For Lord Shiva, he said that he doesn't know how to, for Lord Shiva, he said he doesn't know how to have a married life. He stays under a tree. What kind of grahastha is he? Brahma also, there are so many. Indra, he's a mad fellow. There is a long list of all the faults in everyone. And then finally, goddess of fortune looked at Lord Vishnu and he said, this person also has a fault. And then somebody asked, what is the fault? He is not interested in me. That is the biggest fault. But still I will marry him because he has no fault. Goddess of fortune Lakshmi and Vishnu got married there. And after the marriage was done, again the churning started. And the demons, however, being so then the Varani, the goddess of drinking, was generated, and the Lord ordered that demons should accept her. So demons accepted the Varuni, the drink. And then again the demons and the demigods, they again started with renewed energy and they began to churn. So this time a partial incarnation of the Lord called as Dhanvantari appeared from the churning of the ocean with nectar. And as soon as Dhanvantari came from it, the demons came and grabbed that nectar from the hands of Dhanvantari and fled immediately. And the demons snatched the jug from Dhanvantari, and they began to fight among themselves. Who will drink the nectar? There were senior Daityas, there are senior demons, there are junior demons. The senior demons and the junior demons started fighting with each other. That we are juniors, we should get first. And among the juniors also, they were saying, no, we should get first. And that, there were senior demons, they were saying, no, we are seniors, we should get first. So among the, who is actual senior, they started fighting among themselves. So this was all going on. Yeah? So Lord and the demigods were thinking, Baba, they are fighting like crazy. What about us? The whole agreement was that even we will get something, but doesn't look like. So the Lord pacified them. Don't worry, we will do something, will happen. And then while fighting was going on among the demons, the Lord himself manifested himself as Mohini. Mohini, a most beautiful woman in the universe. That is, imagine the Supreme Lord assuming the form of a woman. So how beautiful will she be? So when the demons were having the possession of the container of the nectar, an external beautiful woman appeared, and she went straight to the demons. Now all the demons became so captivated by the young woman's beauty and became so attached to her that all the fight stopped suddenly. And because everybody wanted a Mohini, now nectar is secondary. The nectar or the pot of nectar was secondary aspect now. Oh, chodo gaya bhad mein. So the first aspect was, their first target was the Mohini. They wanted a Mohini who will Mohini marry? Or who can marry Mohini? Now that was the topmost agenda now. Now because the demons were fighting on themselves to both this nectar, they selected this beautiful woman now. They said that they took this pot of nectar and said, "Oh, Mohini, take this nectar and you decide who will drink the nectar first. We leave it up to you." She said, "Are you mad, fellow? All of you? Why are you believing a woman? You don't know me, where I'm coming from, what is my caste, where I..." No. We trust you completely. We completely trust you. We have unflinching faith in you. Whatever you do, we will accept it. And she said, "But if I commit some mistakes and I could not distribute evenly, what will happen?" No problem. Absolutely no problem. What if I go and give it to demigods? No problem. We can share. We are all good people, cultured people. They all behaving so gently, so nicely. The demons in front of Mohini, they were behaving so, like a gentleman. All the fight stopped, everything stopped. So, taking advantage of their weakness, Mohini, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, got the demons to promise that whatever she will do, everybody promised. What promised? They said, "Whatever she will do, you will all have to accept it." So, Parikshit is late today. So, Mohini, when the demons made the promise to Mohini that whatever you will do, we will have no problem. We get the nectar or we don't get the nectar, it is secondary part. We want you. Will you be with us? He said, "Yeah, I'm always with you. I'm always going to be with you." So, when the demons got that, when the Mohini got the assurance from the demons, then she went to the side of the demigods and told everybody, "Sit in line." There was a big hall, and the Mohini told that the demons and the devatas, "All of you sit in a proper line." So they all sat in the proper line, and the Mohini started roaming around in that assembly with the pot of nectar, and she started quietly, very sweetly, glancing at the demons with loving eyes, with loving eyes and melting their hearts. She, on one side, she was giving nectar to the demigods. So she started doing that. After a while, when the demigods were getting nectar, and they were not getting. Some of the demons started saying, "Hey, Baba, she's cheating." And then another demon slapped him. "Hey, rascal, she's cheating. You are cheating. You are a cheater. She's Mohini. How can you say about it? Mohini, rascal. But keep quiet. You junior demon. Whatever is happening, let it happen. What is your problem? This is nectar of devotion." So, but one of the demons, Rahu, he could not resist. He said that, "I cannot resist, Baba. I am here for the... We all underwent a lot of tapasya. We carried the Mandrachal mountain, this and that. We churned it so many times, and then now the nectar has come. So we should get it. But only the devatas are getting. And I'm sure this Mohini is not from our side. She's cheating with us." So what did Rahu do? Rahu went and sat in between the sun god and the moon god. And... so, yeah, Rahu. Baskar, yaar. So when the Supreme Personality God understood that Rahu is cheating, Mohini immediately took out Sudarshan Chakra and cut off the head of Rahu. But Rahu already had drank. Rahu already had drank the nectar because the Lord wanted that Rahu should drink it. Otherwise, how is it possible? It is not possible that Rahu will not, that Mohini will not recognize Rahu. But Rahu drank. And when Sudarshan Chakra cut off his head, the bottom part and the top part became separated. And he still remained alive. So that became Rahu and Ketu. Yeah. So after the demigods finished drinking the nectar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead assume his original form, and then he left. The job is over. The nectar was distributed to all the demigods. So the Supreme Lord, he left the arena. Now what happened? Now the demigods and the demons churned the milk to get the nectar from it. Demigods got it. Demons did not get it. There is a lesson to be learned from this. Whatever efforts one do in the world, if it is, you might do lot of endeavor, lot of effort to get success in the world, material life, right? But one will not get the success unless the Lord sanctions it. You might do your here, the demons and the demigods both perform their duties for churning the ocean of milk. The only difference between both of them was there any difference between the efforts? No. The efforts were equal, but only difference was the demigods were inclined towards devotion service. I mean, performing devotion to Lord Vishnu, and the demons were atheistic people. So that was the difference, except Bali Maharaj. But in general, I'm talking about. So in the world, what you do doesn't matter. The result, if you want to achieve success in the world, then only Lord can give that success. And even if you are not supposed to get, as a devotee, you are practicing devotee, if you want that nectar of the material world, the sense enjoyment also, and even if you are not destined to get it, then the Lord will come and give it to you. The Lord will come and give it, just like Mohini came and gave the nectar to the devatas. So the Lord will come and give it to you. So that's how the Lord takes care of his devotees. So when the demons could not derive any profit, so after feeding the nectar to demigod, Lord Vishnu returned to his abode. But the demons were most aggrieved, and again they declared a war against the devatas. Bali Maharaj, headed the son of Virochana, became the commander-in-chief of the demons, and they attacked the devatas. So there was a big battle, Devasur Sangram. It is very famous, Devasur Sangram, that the demons and the devatas, Prabhu, better don't do this. You can be outside or be here, either choose one. Don't disturb me. So the demigods, the devatas and the demons were fighting with each other, and so the demigods, finding no recourse, they again went to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and again sought help, because the demons were defeating the devatas. And then the Supreme Lord came and started killing the demons, and that's how the demons like Kalanemi, Mali, Sumali, Malyavan fought with Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they got killed. So when the Lord entered the battle, Indra also got strength. And then what did Indra do? Indra, with the thunderbolt, killed Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj died. Bali Maharaj died. And then when Bali Maharaj died, Jambhasura, his friend, came for the rescue of Bali Maharaj. But Indra cut off even the head of Jambhasura, and that way a lot of demons were killed. there was a demon called as Namuchi, and Indra was tried to kill Namuchi with the same vajra, but Namuchi was not getting killed because Namuchi had a blessings that he will be killed only by a weapon which is neither wet neither dry. So Indra used a weapon of foam. He created a weapon of a foam which is neither dry neither wet, and it killed Namuchi. So in this way, the battle was actually won by the Devatas, and the Devatas got back the kingdom. So here what happened, Bali Maharaj died, so many demons died, but body of the Bali Maharaj was intact. So some of the demons took the body of the Bali Maharaj and went to Shukracharya. And Shukracharya knew the science of Mrita Sanjeevani. What is the science? If the body is intact, if the body is not cut into pieces, if the body is intact, then with the help of Mrita Sanjeevani Vidya, that person can be brought back to life. So that's how Bali Maharaj again got life. He came back to life. And he realized that Bali Maharaj realized that Shukracharya has brought him back to life. And so he was indebted to him. So he started serving Shukracharya by making him as his life and soul. He served him wholeheartedly. He pleased Shukracharya to that extent that Shukracharya said, that Shukracharya manifested himself in Bali Maharaj. When a spiritual master is pleased with a disciple, he has access to his wealth, his spiritual wealth. He has access to Krishna. So here Bali Maharaj pleased Shukracharya to that extent that he was completely available to Bali Maharaj. All his strength was available to Bali Maharaj. So then Shukracharya performed a Vijitashva Yajna. And Vijitashva Yajna was performed for conquering the world. And Bali Maharaj, after the yajna was over, he got so many different items from that yajna, weapons and so many different things. And Prahlad Maharaj, he came and garlanded Bali Maharaj with the garland of the lotus, which was from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that Bali Maharaj got a strength from Prahlad Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj circumvented Prahlad Maharaj, circumvented Brahmana, circumvented Guru Shukracharya, and he, with all the demonic king, all the demonic team of his, he went and attacked Indra. Now Indra was thinking, what was Indra's mindset? Indra was thinking that Bali is dead. So Indra was celebrating. Now there is no problem because there is no one who is qualified to fight with me. So Indra had a mindset that Bali is dead, now who is going to fight with me? All the major demonic personalities, they're all died in the battlefield. Now I can enjoy this kingdom to the unlimited time. There is no obstacle in my life now. But while Indra was absorbed in such kind of sense enjoyment, all of a sudden his whole kingdom was captured from all the directions by the demons. And at that time, Bali blew his counsel. And when Bali blew his counsel, Indra shook, because Indra knew the Bali's counsel. So Indra got to his senses and he went and saw that Bali Maharaj is alive. How can this be possible? Immediately he went and took shelter of Brahaspati. He got Brahaspatiji, and Brahaspati saw Bali Maharaj. And Brahaspati saw Bali Maharaj, and he also saw Shukracharya with him. And he saw it is not Shukracharya. I can see two Shukracharyas. I think Bali has served Shukracharya in such a beautiful way that Shukracharya has empowered Bali to conquer the world now. And then Indra asked Brahaspati, what should I do? He said, do not fight. Leave the kingdom. So without fighting, Indra handed over the entire kingdom to Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj became the Ek Chhatra Samrat of all the three worlds. Now, the mother So many things happen. There are so many things happening here as well in the material world. So in the planet, in the upper planetary system also, same thing is happening. No change. Are you getting some lessons from this? Here also people are fighting, there also people are fighting. Here people are fighting for name, fame, pratishta, or wealth, Mercedes, bungalow, this and that. There they are fighting for nectar or for the Indra's throne. So this fighting is going on. Same thing. Little luxury will get there. Little advance sense gratification. Otherwise, it is a part of the material world and it is the same thing. There's no difference. So Aditi, when she saw that her children have no house, so when Kashyap Muni, her husband, when he came home, Aditi started crying. That look, my children have no home. You are the father, do something. He is the father of Vali Maharaj also, he is the father of Indra also. But Aditi said, no, you have to do something for my children. They are homeless, this and that. She started crying, ho. Please do something. So Kashyap Muni said, okay, you perform a sacrifice called as Payovrata. So it is a 12-day sacrifice. So Mother Aditi, she performed 12 days of sacrifice. She learned all the process. For 12 days, she should be only staying on milk. And in the 12 days, she pleased the Supreme Lord Hari. And Lord Hari manifested in front of her. And she offered her prostrated dandavat to the Lord and prayed, say, my dear Lord, please help my sons. And the Lord said, because you have rendered pure, you have rendered devotional service to me, I am very pleased with you. So I promise you, I will get back the kingdom from Bali Maharaj to your children. But she said, no, I want you should kill him. He said, I cannot kill him. I cannot kill Bali. What do you want? Your purpose will be sorted out. So then the Lord came as Vamanadev. That's where the Lord took birth as Vamanadev, as a dwarf incarnation. And little Vamanadev, little Brahmana, started walking towards Bali Maharaj, because Bali Maharaj was... Now what happened? Bali Maharaj got the kingdom, right? But Bali Maharaj got the kingdom without the required piety. So Shukracharya engaged Bali Maharaj in performing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. Because after 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, one becomes qualified to become Indra. But Bali Maharaj took the post of Indra by force. But now he needs a qualification. So Shukracharya immediately engaged in the process. 99 sacrifices were done. Last was going on. And that time, so in the meanwhile, Aditi pleased the Lord. The Lord agreed and he came as Vamanadev, became Upendra, the brother of Indra. And Vamanadev started walking to their assembly where Bali Maharaj was performing his 100th Ashwamedha sacrifice. And when Vamanadev was entering that arena, as if hundreds of suns put together, that effulgence was coming out from this Brahmana's body. And all of a sudden, when he entered the arena, all the Brahmanas and everybody, they stood up. Everybody stood up seeing, wow, what a effulgent Brahmana is. And then even Bali Maharaj stood up. And Bali Maharaj went to this Brahmana and welcomed him. Shukracharya immediately understood something is wrong here. That there's something or other is wrong here. And Shukracharya was doubtful. He was not convinced that this is Vishnu. He was doubtful initially. So Bali Maharaj went and said, What do you want? You are here at Bali's door. What do you want? So there was a discussion between Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is saying that you want a beautiful girl for marriage, you want villages, you want cities, you want opulence, you want cows, what do you want? Little boy said, what will I do with all these things? I just want 3 paces of land. And Bali Maharaj said, 3 paces of land? Of your feet or my feet? Bali Maharaj, no, the Vamanadev said, no, my feet. No. I just want 3 pieces of land from my feet. And Bali Maharaj was saying, you know, you're coming, my dear boy, you're coming to Bali. Bali is ruling the whole world at the moment. And you are asking from me 3 pieces of land. I don't want that once you come to me, again, if you have to go and beg tomorrow at someone's house, I don't want this. That's why whatever you want, you should get from me, become satisfied so that you don't have to beg. You can live happily. And then Vamanandeva gave a very nice pravachan to him that satisfaction is the key of success. I am satisfied with 3 pieces of land. What is your problem? When Vamanandeva said the 3 pieces of land, Shukracharya's tublet burned. He immediately realized, Baba, this is Vishnu. 3 pieces of land means immediately he realized Trivikrama form. Shukracharya realized and he thought that he is going to take away everything. He is going to take away everything. And immediately he thought, Bale, before you do any sankalpa, please take a note. This is Vishnu himself. And he has come to take away everything from you. These 3 pieces of land, he is going to take all the 3 worlds from you. Be careful, don't give him anything. Bali heard the instructions of Gurudev, Shukracharya. And then he had a debate with his guru. That guru who gave him everything. Now, Lord Vishnu is coming at the door. Bali wants to give whatever he desires. And the guru is telling the spiritual masculine, don't give. And Shukracharya is telling, are you nonsense? You rascal, Bali. You should know that you should never give everything in charity. You should always keep something for your householder life, for your emergencies, for your children, for the brahmanas. Because he knows if everything goes, even he will also not get anything. Shukracharya, he will also not get anything. What dakshina he will get from the yagya? He performed 100 yagyas. Well, he will not get dakshina, and the last yagya, everything is going away. So Shukracharya thinks, oh, my, even I will not get anything. So all these calculations, he tried to stop and convince Bali that, Bali, don't give. So Bali was thinking. Bali is a devotee. Now, why is Bali a Mahajan? Why Bali is a Mahabhagavat? You should know this. Although he was staying with the demons. You should know this. Although he was staying with the demons, was the leader of the demons. But he was the greatest of the Vaishnavas. He was one of the 12 Mahajanas. Why? You should know that. You should know that. Because how the seed of devotion was planted in his heart by Prahlad Maharaj. That seed was planted by Prahlad Maharaj. And that seed took the form of a tree. That, you know, the seed took the form of a tree. And the fruit of that tree of devotion is that Vamandev has come today personally to meet Bali Maharaj. He does not have to go looking for Bali. He did not have to go looking for Vishnu. Vishnu personally has come to meet Bali. Getting the point? Why? Because he was blessed by Prahlad Maharaj. By Prahlad Maharaj's mercy, today Bali, externally you might see that Lord Vishnu has come to take away everything. But internally what is happening? By the mercy, causeless mercy of Prahlad Maharaj on Bali Maharaj, today Bali was getting darshan of the Supreme Lord. And he is coming and begging from Bali Maharaj. And so, keeping in mind all these calculations, Bali Maharaj thought that if I don't give him anyway, he's going to take everything. Because after, he will kill me and take away everything. So let me give him everything and take the credit. At least I'll be glorified that I gave everything to Bali, everything to Lord Vishnu. So there, Bali Maharaj, he did sankalpa. He did the sankalpa. that I'll give the 3 pieces of land to Lord Vamanadeva. Rejecting Shukracharya's instructions, and as soon as the sankalpa was done, this little boy started to expand. With 1 foot only he covered everything. With 2 feet only he covered everything. And with his own body he covered the rest. He covered the rest of the world. With his own body he covered the rest of the world. With his 2 feet he covered the lower and upper planetary systems. Everything was covered. And then the Lord asked Bali Maharaj, "You rascal, you told me you will give 3 pieces of land. Where should I keep my 3rd piece? I captured everything what you had in my 2 pieces. Where you want me to keep your 3rd feet? At that time Bali Maharaj said, "I am still alive. And the donor is bigger than the amount. If the donor is giving the amount as 4 lakh rupees, then my value is 6 lakhs. There is some calculation. Don't get into details. So Bali Maharaj told that, "I am alive. You keep your lotus feet on my head." And that time Vamanadev kept, Lord Trivikrama kept the lotus feet on Bali Maharaj's head. And in this way, Bali Maharaj offered everything to the Lord. And all the devatas, everybody, Shiva, Brahma, all the devatas, they all came. They all came and showered flowers on Bali Maharaj. They all showered. Even Indra came and showered flowers and said, "Wow, what a devotion. What a devotional service." So then Bali Maharaj was arrested by the Lord. You know, and then Bali Maharaj... Bali Maharaj asked the Lord, the Lord asked Bali Maharaj that, "You still did not fulfill my promise, this and that." He was teasing him. So Bali Maharaj was tied up by the Lord. He told Garuda, tie him up. So he was tied up by the Lord. And then Brahma, Shiva and everybody, they came. And they were deciding what punishment should be given to Bali Maharaj. So everybody started to, you know, glorify the Supreme Lord. Everybody took an opportunity. Even Bali Maharaj also glorified the Lord. And then finally the Supreme Lord said that, "Bali, actually I am very pleased with you. I am pleased with your devotion. And that's why I am granting you Sutala Loka. And in that Sutala Loka, I am going to stay with you. And after this era is over, in the next Manuantara, you will become Indra. Because you have a desire to become Indra, so you will become Indra. Now you complete this sacrifice." The Supreme Lord told Shukracharya, "Shukracharya ji, please complete this sacrifice and let's celebrate this beautiful moment." That's how the demigods regained the heavenly planets, and that's how the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is completed. Tomorrow we'll begin with the 9th canto, and in the evening we'll start the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. 2 cantos in 2 hours, in one day. I was wondering about the first question about the identity of Bali Maharaj. We are saying Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha are Jai and Vijay, and their spiritual identity is revealed. But what about Bali? Because he's a Mahajan, he's a devotee of the Lord. Is there anything mentioned about it in the Bhagavatam?
No. It's only mentioned he was a son of Virochan. Virochan was a son of Prahlad.
Okay, and did he get, temporary Vaikuntha, a Vaikuntha in the material world like Dhruva did, or did he get a...
No, he was staying in Sutal Loka, and then Sutal Loka was more material world, but he got the association of the Lord all the time. Lord Vamanandev still stays there with him.
Okay, if we go back a little bit to Dhruva Maharaj, so he got also a kind of a spiritual planet. So, but there is no like an exchange, a ras between him and the Lord. So oh. Is this some kind of a curse? Because
Dhruva.
Yeah.
Dhruva wanted that and he got that. The Lord stays there also, no? Lord resides in Dhruva Loka, that is Prapanchika, that's Lord resides there.
Yeah, so Dhruva attained perfection, but if he one day wants to reciprocate a relationship with Krishna, with the Lord, like the Gopas, the Gopis.
That is different rasa altogether. There, Ishtadev is different, in the rasa is different, so that is a whole different calculation. You cannot compare the love of the Brajvasis with Dhruva Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj. They are the topmost devotees in their own situation. You cannot compare that with Braj. That category of devotees are different. Even you cannot compare them with Pandavas, because Pandavas also they are devotees with Aishwarya. They worship Krishna, but they also have the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and he is also our friend or our whatever relationship they have. In Braj, this is not the scenario. In Braj, Krishna lives Govardhan. Krishna does this, Krishna does that. He is only the son of Nanda Maharaj and the son of Yashoda Maiya. About that, the Brajvasis cannot think. Krishna chastises Indra, Krishna does that. Everything Krishna does. But the consciousness of the Brajvasis could that limit where they are only thinking about pure devotional service to the Lord. No Aishwarya in it. Pure Madhurya. So, this is all we're talking about the different devotees, how they attend Vaikuntha Lokas. There is Dwarka, there is Mathura, there are different categories of devotees in Mathura. Then Dwarka, there are different categories of devotees. Then we come where the Vrindavan Vasis come. So it's all a different different ball game altogether. Okay, there are different categories of devotees. Okay, if you read Brahat Bhagavatamrit, and all these things get cleared up. Who is the topmost amongst all the devotees? No, so all the Hanuman and all this Bali Maharaj and Yudhishthira Maharaj and everybody is lined up very very systematic way, and then finally. They go to Braj.